Lord, we thank you. We are unique people. Actually, some ways strange, peculiar, different people. Because we've been bought with a price. We are owned by you. And we are honored that we belong to you, Lord. You paid a huge price, and bless our meditation and our worship that follows in song. Thank you for the song. Thank you for the day today, for all the grace that makes this happen, for our coming convention in June, graduation in May, high school graduation, families, all the newborn babies, all the children in GGCA and GGLC, and the children that are homeschooled and in public school, every family, all of the dollars that go through our pockets and our hands, all of our agreements and practical things in life. Help us and lead us navigate through life because we are not our own, but you own us. Bless this in your name. In Jesus' name, we pray also for our country. God, we pray for our president. We pray for government. We pray for our governor. We pray for our mayor. We pray for you, Almighty God, our God, you are great. And the nations are a drop in the bucket before you. And the heart of the king is in your hand. Lord, bless us with peace and spiritual life and security and blessing, and turn many to righteousness in your name. Amen. Turn in your Bible, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'd like to speak tonight on you are not your own. So this starts in 1 Peter 1 in verse 18. Right after service, we have a worship tonight for Pastor Mark and Pastor Matt, who do such a good job leading us in worship. So that'll be for an hour or so after service. And they will give you direction on that at the end of the meeting. Verse 18, for as much as you know, you are not redeemed. Now, this word redemption is important. It has a historical context. We could think of the American slavery institution back in the 19th century, 18th centuries in the United States, in the 18th century in Europe also. There would be a slave market. In the Roman times and the Greek times, they had slaves. Sometimes a general would go out, conquer an area, take away women, children, bring them back to Rome, and there would be a procession. And the general and the army would come in, and then the slaves would come in after. If you are looking at the group of captive slaves, you might pick somebody out and want to buy them. You could actually buy them, and you would own them. To think of owning a person, and they would be your servant boy or your worker in your farm or plantation, and this is historically what happens. The same word is used for us, that we were also slaves. We were not our own. We actually sinned, and we lost our rights as people in our freedom and became slaves, very much like the Jews were in Egypt. They were slaves to Pharaoh. They built the pyramids and cities, and they were slaves without any rights. They had to work, they fed them, and they lived like dogs, maybe you could say. No right to vote, no property, no money, no rights. Families could be torn apart. A horrible institution. But nevertheless, used to describe something for our learning, because we were slaves to sin. Have you ever felt like sometimes as a sinner, I don't have many options? I am a sinner, I turn this way, my sin increases. I turn this way, I try to manage my life, but I have a depression. I turn this way, and that person doesn't like me. And I turn this way, and I don't have much hope. I am caught in my own self. When we lost our way, we lost God, and we lost our way, and we became slaves to our own selves. We fall under the gravity and weight of our own bad decisions and our own unbelief. We are in the slave market of sin. Verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. In the Roman times, they could buy a slave with money, gold or silver. We were also redeemed, but not with corruptible gold or silver, because those metals are from the earth. Anything from the earth is corruptible. Gold and silver is corruptible. Grass and wheat and barley and sweat and work and so on, all coming from the earth. Verse 18. As silver and gold from your vain way of life received by tradition from your fathers. Redeemed by gold or silver, by a religion, by a way of life, by tradition, by your fathers. Your fathers could not redeem anybody. They could not redeem us from our sin. There was no religion on the earth. There's nothing. Yeah, Hinduism or Buddhism or Judaism or any way that a man could be changed, because it's like the level of man, that a man cannot take a man out of sin unless that man is higher than the sin. Must be something more than man or the earth. There must be some power to redeem, to buy us. There is a Greek word for purchasing us, and it is a purchase, and it can never be repurchased. I read that today. I don't have it in my memory, but believe me, if you can. Verse 18, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. The tradition of your fathers cannot redeem you. But, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ. Let's think about blood for a moment. Blood is interesting stuff. You can read about it in the science, world of science. When you go to the doctor and they test your blood, they can find out piles of information about your body from looking at the blood. Do you have any kind of abnormal enzymes, or do you have abnormal levels of white blood cells, red blood cells? Do you have your body secreting something, evidence of a cancer? Your blood can tell the story of your body. Blood. But this blood is precious. This blood is powerful. Like the Jews in Egypt, when they put the blood on the doorposts and the death angel passed by, because when they saw the blood, the angel would pass over. Why? Because the blood is a message from God that I own you, I buy you, I possess you. Owning us, J.D. McClendon, who passed away, he is owned by God. No, J.D. evolved. He's independent of, he's a phenomenon that came from nature, his mother and father. There's no other reality. He came as an animal into the world and he returns to the dust and that's the end. That's how people think. Nobody owns me. I am my own man. I live my own life. There is no God. There is no heaven. There is no future. Nobody owns me. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I've just got my own life. I just live my life and die, and that's the end. But the Bible says that when Jesus Christ came into the world, and there's three G's in our history of the Passion. There is Gethsemane. There's Gabbatha. That was the pavement where the soldiers were and Pilate was. There's Gethsemane, where he shed blood. Gabbatha, where they whipped him to nearly dying with the lashes and the blood that was on Gabbatha's pavement. And then they led him to crucifixion and pierced his body, and his blood was shed. Because this was not the blood of men. It was the blood of God. I want you to meditate on it, absorb it, and think about it. I am not my own. That's what we want to speak about tonight. Read the next part of the verse 19. But with the precious, unique, you know the word meaning of the word precious, right? It's incomparable, cannot be replaced, very unique, very different, like an antique that that some famous person owned, like Mozart's piano, or a coin in a collector's collection, a unique, precious coin. There's nowhere you could ever find it. It's gone. So this blood is precious. This blood purchases us, redeems us. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifest in these last times for you. Cain shed his blood, and his blood cried out from the earth. Did that blood that was from Abel, I'm sorry, did I say Cain killed Abel? Abel's blood spoke from the earth. Did that blood go all the way to heaven? It cried out for justice, cried out for revenge. But this blood speaks better things than that of Abel. Right, this blood is crying from heaven down to us, mercy. I own you. I bought you. You are free. You're not in the slave market anymore. You're like the Jews when they came out of Egypt. They'd dance around the Seder table with their fur hat on and their clothes like this, and they do it in their history, and they say, what's the word in Hebrew? You know it? That's it. What is it? Die, what? I'm sorry because of my ears. Dienu. Die, dienu, right? Die, dienu. What does it mean? It is enough. They made it out of Egypt, and they're dancing and celebrating. They got out of Egypt. It is enough. I can't help but think that the blood of Jesus is enough for every single person on the earth, that he has redeemed us by his blood from death. Let's finish 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, this is amazing. And this is, I don't think I've ever preached on this the way I'm feeling it in my heart. And I want to catch it with you. I've been thinking about it for some weeks. And I want you to share it with me. Look at chapter 6, verse 19. This is about a man living with a prostitute or sleeping with a prostitute. And Paul is saying, flee fornication, verse 18. Your body is not your own. Get out of there. That's not your life. You don't belong to that woman. And that woman does not belong to you. You have been bought with a price. Look at verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Possessive pronouns are a very major theme in our Bible. Mine, let's see, I own this, he owns me. We are personally possessed by God. He paid a price for us. I am not my own. I want to read it from Song of Solomon. Oh, that's beautiful. Wow. Oh, pray it like this. How should we pray, Jesus? How does it go? Our Father who art in heaven. Song of Solomon 2:16. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feeds among the lilies. Let's take God out of the earth. Let's take God away for a few minutes. And how do people think? They have a child. The mom and dad have a child. They don't have God. They have just a... They say, my mom and dad, we have this child, we own this child. Little Eddie, who's your parent? You are my mommy and daddy, and that's the way it is. There's a relationship of possessing. They possess a child, the child has a mommy and daddy, and that's all that it is. The child grows up and has a wife, has a job. They have a car, they have a future, they have a career. What are they possessing? All of it is of the earth. Mom and dad is of the earth. The job is of the earth. My little diplomas on the wall, they are from the earth. It's all from the earth. That's all that they have. And they are not belonging to anybody. They are not belonging to anybody of any real consequence. They are not belonging to God. They are not belonging to eternity. They are orphans. They have no real father and mother. They have an earthly father and mother who is coming and going. And that's the limit. They grow up and say, this is my life. My life. This is my way. In my way of living. This is my life. This is mine. This is mine. God said, you can have it. But I came so that I would own you. I paid a price. My son shed drops of blood. My son shed his blood. My son was crucified on a cross so that I could own you. You are not your own. Another person would say, I evolved. You know, like Darwinism and theory of evolution. I just came here. I'm just here by an accident. That's all that it is. Nothing more. I'm just an accident. That's all that I got. That's all that I am. And God is saying, is that what you think? Yes, that's what I think. And God will say, I got good news for you. You are too important. J.D. McClendon, I made you to be eternal. I made you so that I could own you. I made you so that I could dwell in you. I made you so that you would be the temple of God. I made you so that I could dwell in you and possess you, and I would be your Father. That's why I made you. Psalm 100. God said, you are the sheep of my pasture. You, we have not made ourselves, but God has made us. God made us. And get used to saying that. God made me. You know, I got high blood pressure. God made me. You know, I got a fingernail fell off. God made me. I went to see the dentist. God made me. You know, my dentist, I don't know if he's here tonight, but he came here. I met him at the door. I go, do I know you? He goes, no, you don't know me. And I go, what's your name? He told me. I go, you're my dentist. I have a dentist, so my teeth. What is it? Is this, what is this life? It says, let's read it, verse. Verse 19, you are not your own. I love that. You are not your own. You are not your own. I don't want to be my own. I don't want to be my own. I want the Lord to own me. I don't want to be my own. I want the Lord to own me. Did you feel it? Do you know what I'm saying? I want Jesus to own me. If Jesus owns me, he made me. And I want Jesus to be in charge of me. And I want Jesus to be my God. I want Jesus to be my Father. I want Jesus to be the one that governs my life. I want Jesus, who bought me with his blood, to be the one that leads and carries me through my life. I want Jesus to own. He owns me. Therefore, can he lose me? No man can pluck you out of my hand. No man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I made you in my image. I dwell in you. I am your. I am yours and he is mine. Song of Solomon chapter 6 verse 3. I am my beloved's. This ownership thing is strong in Song of Solomon. When I got married, I was able to say, this is my wife. This is my wife. That was a big thing. I can't believe that I can say that this woman is my wife. I own her. She could say, this is my husband. This is an ownership thing. And we can say that about, well, a marriage is as beautiful and as sacred as it is. There could be nothing greater than to say, than for God to say, you are mine. Malachi 3:17. You are my jewels. You know how ladies have their jewel box and all their good stuff in it. God is saying, I got you as my jewels. I bought you. I paid a price. So you are bought with a price. I am my beloved's. My beloved has gone down into his garden to the beds of spices to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He feeds among the lilies. Do you feel that way about God? When we turn to dust, before we turn to dust and we're on our deathbed, what can we say? Best of all, he owns me. Best of all, he's going to raise me. Best of all, my life is not in vain. Best of all, I'm called by his name. Best of all, his spirit will not forsake me. Best of all, I am owned by God. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:20. You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. He bought you. Wow, I wonder what it means. I think we'll be in heaven walking around just being realizing it, like, only reason I'm here is because he bought me. There's no way I could ever be here except God bought me. Bought me with his precious blood. There's no way I could have never made it here, but he bought me. He put his eye upon me. He called me. He bought me with his precious blood. You are bought. with a price. Why would you be sleeping around with a harlot? He that is joined in the harlot is one flesh, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We are bought with a price, indwelt by him, and he owns us, doesn't he? Verse 20, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Sing about it. Jump up and down about it. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body belongs to God. You got high blood pressure? God owns your body. Your teeth? God owns your teeth. God's got your feet covered. He's got everything about you. He owns you. Your body and your spirit glorifies God. And that's what I wanted to say tonight. One last song of Solomon verse, because it gets even better. Chapter 7, 10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. There's three verses, similar sounding. He is mine. But by the end of the Song of Solomon, it's all about him. I am belonging to him, and his desire is toward me. He will deliver you from your bad habits. He will. He will help you think with him. He will give you grace. He'll teach you faith. You walk in prayer and in love. You learn how to walk and to live. And as the day approaches for our departure out of this life, we just say, I'm not an accident. He bought me with a price. As our life, as we go on in our life and in our purpose and our mission in this world, we can say we are here to glorify God in our body and, listen, in our spirit. That's the thing the world doesn't have. They have strange spirits. They have confusion. They are slaves. They don't have the spirit of God. But we glorify God in our body and in our spirit. We have a spirit of praise, spirit of worship. We have a spirit that the devil cannot control it. We have a spirit of God that dwells in us. We have a spirit of a mission, a spirit in the gospel, a spirit of prayer, a spirit of exhortation. We have a spirit of kindness. We have the spirit of God in our family and in our way of life, in our peace, and even in our deepest trouble. Yeah. Okay. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, it's that simple. We are not our own. You own us. We could say, I can't do that thing because God owns me and he'll lead me out of it. I cannot cave and give in to that temptation. God owns me, paid a big price for me, and I want to glorify God in my body and in my spirit. Lord, we're before you in our hearts, thanking you for this incredible miracle. We're not going to just deteriorate into dust and be nothing, but we are glorified in you, for you bought us with a price, the precious blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. And anyone hearing the message tonight, come to Jesus as you are and say, I want you, Lord, to buy. I want to be bought by you. You paid the price, and I believe, and I want you in my life. What my parents could not give me, you give me. What this world could never do for me, you give me eternal life and glory. I accept you and believe in you personally. Teach me how to walk with you. Glorify you, Lord. in ways beyond my understanding tonight, that I would understand what it means to glorify you. Maybe over a long period of time, I learn what it means to have you, to see you glorified. How'd you make it for 40 years? God did it, because he owns me. How is it you became so kind and gracious and godly? Because God owns me, and he's done it by his grace. In Jesus' name, amen.